Good morning. I'll be reading from a couple different scripture passages this morning. In Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, and then Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. First, in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." And in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Thank you, God, at this time that we once again have your word that we can open before us, that we can read, meditate on, think about, and seek to apply to our lives. We're thankful, God, that we have stories about Jesus as he lived on this earth, that we can see his tremendous power and the authority that you gave to him in action, so that we can be completely confident that we can submit ourselves to him and to his leadership over our lives. We thank you also that we have these instructions from Paul that teach us what to do when we're anxious or stressed out or worried, that we know that we can pray to you about everything at all times, at any time, and we know that your peace is there, ready for us, available to us, and that it's simply a matter of trusting you and letting you into our lives. We thank you, God, for Jesus. As we remembered his sacrifice just a few minutes ago, we're thankful that you've loved us so much and enough that you created a plan to redeem us, even though that plan required the death of your son. We're thankful that he came willingly and obediently and with humility to die for our sins so that we could have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And I pray, God, that we would keep that focus in our minds, that we would stay dedicated on living faithfully until the end, that we would stay committed to that eternal life that we have with you, that we would look forward to it, that we would think about it regularly, that we would let that shape the way that we live on a day-to-day basis. We thank you again for Jesus. We offer this prayer in his name. Amen. How many people like feeling like you're in circumstances where you have absolutely no control? Maybe the idea, the more chaos, the better. How many people live by that motto? Probably no one. I mean, most of us, our lives are lived in ways that we try to reduce the chaos. We try to reduce the stress and the anxiety and the confusion and the feeling of being out of control. This is kind of a small example, but many of you know that I'm colorblind. And growing up in school and everything, I always enjoyed drawing, but I hated art class because inevitably it involved paint, and the paints were never labeled about which color they were. And for some reason, I always seemed to be the one that would be called out, "Hey, Jeremy, go up there and get the brown paint." And I'd have to go up there, and I'm standing up there trying to figure out which one was which, because I can't tell you the number of times I go back with the red paint and be called out, "This is the wrong one. I asked you for brown, you brought red," or vice versa, or whatever. And it was terrifying. As much as I liked the art class, every time I went to that class, I was fearful of being appointed to be the one to go get the paint, because I knew that I wasn't going to get it, unless it was yellow or something like that, and I could always manage to pick out yellow or whatever it was. But I was always told to go get the ones that I wasn't going to be able to do, and it was scary. Another time, Devin and I were going down to Arkansas to visit her her grandmother and her mother who lived down there, and we were driving at night, and at just the right time, at just the right angle, some deer came out, managed to hit the car just in the right way. It totaled the car. And so we're on our way down. I think we were in Missouri, actually, at the time. And here we are on vacation with a total car. And I'm having to, you know, use the whole week that we're gone, and I'm supposed to be relaxing and resting up on the phone with the insurance company, trying to figure out how are we going to get home and what are you going to do. And I felt like I had no control over that chaotic situation, and it was scary. And I've told this story before about one time when my brother and I, we were camping with my parents, and we went out on this inflatable raft, and neither of us are swimmers even to this day, and we weren't paying attention. We were just out there, you know, playing around, goofing off, and suddenly we heard Dad yelling at us from the shore, and I remember thinking, he sounds like he's kind of far away. And so we turned and looked around, and we were like way off from the shore, and neither of us were good swimmers, and we had to try to figure out how to suddenly become good swimmers so that we could get back before we drifted out any further and totally lost any contact with the land. We probably weren't that far out in reality, but when we were kids and we weren't good swimmers, it seemed like it at the time. But how many feel like sometimes that would describe your own life? You're adrift. There's distance between you and the shore or the destination where you want to be. How many would feel like that might be a metaphor for different times in your life? And how many would like to just be able to drop an anchor down and have some stability through which you can navigate that chaos and that confusion and that uncertainty? Because the reality is that we feel overwhelmed when we feel like there's chaos or a lack or loss of control in our lives. Anytime significant stress comes into our lives and we don't know how to handle it, those feelings of being overwhelmed come into our experience. And we're not sure how to process those feelings. We're not sure sometimes how to walk through those feelings. And when we feel anxious or anxiety over anything, we struggle with how to navigate through that. And we want to feel like we're not adrift and floating. We want to feel like we're able to put down an anchor, but we don't know how or what to do. We struggle with it. And for some people, it's money issues. It's just money's always so tight, and we live paycheck to paycheck, and we don't know where sometimes the next meal is going to come from or where we're going to get the clothes that we need or whatever. And we struggle with money and the stress that can cause. And it creates chaos in our lives. For some people, it's family issues, family struggles, relationships within families that break down, and we don't know how to navigate through those. We don't know how to bring people together. We don't know how to start a conversation with somebody because we know that what's going to happen is they're going to interpret something that was said the wrong way, and it's going to lead to a big fight. And so it's easier just to avoid that and live with the tension and the chaos and the uncertainty rather than try to figure out what to do about that. For others of us, it's illnesses. People get sick, people have health issues, and we struggle with knowing how best to care for them or how things are going to resolve or whether, in fact, things will resolve or not. And anxiety and stress can be caused. Chaos can come in as a result of that. We just want to feel like we can drop down an anchor that would enable us to be able to hold our ground. I think that's probably how the disciples felt as we come to this story that I read in Mark chapter 4. As it begins, Jesus says to his disciples, let's go to the other side of the lake. It sounds like a great idea. They'll just hop in a boat and take a nice trip across. Everything was fine at the time. The weather looked good. It probably was a nice day. It was going to maybe be a relaxing journey. So the disciples said, sure, let's go. But suddenly, in the way that Mark describes this, in verse 36, they left the crowd behind and they took Jesus along just as he was in the boat, and there were other boats with him. And then suddenly, in verse 37, a furious squall came up. I mean, this was not, you know, it wasn't a little bit of wind and some rain, and their day was ruined because they got wet when they weren't planning on it. I mean, they were out in the lake here suddenly, and a furious squall descended upon them. In fact, Mark even says here that it was so bad that it threatened to swamp the boat. The boat was nearly swamped. Waves were breaking up over the boat. I mean, this was suddenly not only scary, but dangerous. The disciples are out terrified in the middle of this, thinking back, this wasn't even our idea. This was Jesus' idea. And as they look around, where's he at? And Mark tells us that Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. So the disciples are up trying to figure out how can we keep this boat from becoming swamped and broken apart. The waves are crashing in over, and the thing could turn over on us at any time. And we didn't even necessarily want to come out, but Jesus said, let's take a trip across the lake. Let's get in the boat and go. And they're looking around, and they can't even find him. And when they do find him, he's below deck sleeping. He's asleep. But right there, we see the difference, and this is really the direction that Mark's going in as he relates this story to us. He's showing us the difference between the fear that we live in when things become chaotic and turbulent in our lives and the serenity that exists with Jesus. Because so many times we focus on our own circumstances and what's happening to us immediately in the now, and we forget that Jesus has authority to calm all the chaos in our lives. And if we think about for a minute what the water meant for Jews, especially at this time, the water throughout the Old Testament is seen as a sign or a symbol of chaos. It was something that couldn't be controlled. It was something that, of course, they believed God had authority to control, and he could tame the chaos of the water, but they could not. And so historically, Jews were not seafaring people. That's why they lived on land. They didn't build boats. They didn't take trips in the water. They tended to avoid the water as much as they could because it was seen as something that was chaotic, that they couldn't control, that they couldn't tame. And so now the disciples are engaging in their worst fear. They're cut loose away from shore in some small boat in some major storm where the water's breaking in over the boats. It's going to swamp them. And the one that they came with, they can't even find. And then when they do find him, he's sleeping. And what a contrast exists there between the fear of the disciples and the calmness of Jesus. Because Jesus knows that it doesn't matter how bad this storm gets. It doesn't even matter if it overturns the boat. He knows that with him, they're safe. That's just something that they hadn't grasped yet. And so it goes on. The disciples wake Jesus up and they say to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care if we drown?" And the way that they ask the question to Jesus betrays their own thinking about it. They, in that moment, and they would probably answer differently at a different time, but in that moment, they did not believe that Jesus could save them. In all that chaos and turbulence is happening in their lives, they didn't have faith, they didn't have enough trust that Jesus could save them. They said, "Don't you care if we drown?" Because they think he's just going to sleep through it. We're going down with this boat, and he's just going to stay asleep through it. They didn't ask him to get up and do anything about it. They were concerned. Their only concern was whether or not he cared if they drowned or not. And in those circumstances, they had doubt. They had fear. And they let that doubt and fear override their faith in Jesus. But Jesus got up. He rebuked the wind. He said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. As soon as Jesus got involved, everything calmed down. The chaos quit, the blowing wind stopped, the furious squall receded, and everything was calm and fine and good and okay. And that's the contrast that Mark is bringing out for us in this story when Jesus did this. That when we let fear and chaos override our thinking and our faith in Jesus, we forget that he and he alone has complete and total authority to calm the chaos of our lives and bring us to that peace that we're looking for. That's instantly what he did. He didn't do it while he was sleeping, but once the disciples finally went to him, once they quit trying to literally bail themselves out, and they went to Jesus, and they talked to him, and they began to put their trust back into him, immediately everything became fine. And Jesus made it a question of faith for the disciples. Did they have enough faith to trust him to guide and lead them through the chaos of their circumstances? That's why Jesus said in verse 40, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" This is after he calmed everything. After he calmed everything, "Why are you so afraid?" They were still fearful. They didn't know what had happened. They were trying to figure out what had happened. And Jesus says, do you still have no faith? And they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And they see the chaos of everything that they couldn't control being brought under control by the power and authority and word of Jesus. And at that point, they were able to answer that question about faith. They were able to put their faith back in him. But that's the question that Jesus wanted, that he asked, that he wanted to know. Do you still have no faith? Do you still not believe that you're safe with me? Do you still not believe that I can bring everything in your life under control if you will just submit to me and obey me like the wind and the waves did? If Jesus can command power over the wind and the waves, can he not command power over the chaos of our own lives? But how do we tap into that? How do we bring our lives under those guidelines? And I think that's where we can get some insight from Paul. Because it's easy for us to read that, and it's easy for me to say we just need to trust Jesus more, but how do we do that? How do we put our faith in him? How do we keep our faith in him? And for most of us, what it means is we need to have ways of regularly thinking about him, regularly keeping him in our mind. And that's where the passage from Philippians gives us some insight. In chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, Paul here, he's addressing anxiety, he's addressing trust, he's addressing how we can respond to God in trust, even when things around us seem chaotic. And he just says a few simple things. He says, focus on rejoicing. And by rejoicing, I don't think he's saying just have a positive mindset about everything, but he's reminding us to stay focused on what really matters. The whole book of Philippians is a reminder of what really matters, what's really most important, and that's Jesus himself, and keeping in focus that end goal that we're moving towards of eternal life. And we know that if God has saved us and he's bringing us towards that goal of eternal life with him, that's what we rejoice in. And we rejoice in that because we know that no matter what's happening to us right now, we have a better future. It already exists. We're just moving towards it, and we rejoice in that. And we focus on the nearness of the Lord. As he says in verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. We remind ourselves about how near the Lord really is. That God has given us his own spirit to be with us as a guarantee of eternal life, but also as a helper to help guide us and lead us through our lives when we face the challenges and the chaos. God is very near to us. And so Paul says in verse 6, on the basis of those things, do not be anxious about everything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. He tells us to pray about everything. There are no circumstances that we will ever go through in our lives that will not benefit us by going to God in prayer and asking him for his help, his guidance, and even, verse 7, his peace. That's why Paul says, you do these things and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When our lives are turbulent and chaotic, what we most want is peace. And the peace that lasts, the peace that really makes a difference, is the peace that only God can give us. And he tells us he will give it to us if we go to him in prayer. In all things, for everything, and in all circumstances. Imagine taking the substance of the story from Mark, where the whole thing boils down to whatever we're facing in our lives, do we trust Jesus and his authority enough to put our faith in him? And then to think about the advice from Paul, and to reconsider our lives as a daily growth of deepening trust in God, where we let ourselves be led by Jesus, where we further our faith, and where we anchor ourselves with prayer, and through those things, we let the peace of God fill us completely. That's a life that we can have. It's a life that's available to us in Jesus and through Jesus. The question that we have is the same question that Jesus asked the disciples. Do we have enough faith? If anyone's here this morning and needs to respond to the message, maybe you have questions of a spiritual nature, or maybe you want to seek to be baptized into the name of Jesus. We know that Scripture teaches that when we're baptized into the name of Jesus, that we receive the forgiveness of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we're added to God's church. It's a journey that we begin, a journey of discipleship. If anybody needs to answer that call as well this morning, we encourage you to let us know by coming forward as we stand and sing.